Welcome to another edition of You Can Farm Talks. This is a live video podcast series where we talk with people in the agriculture industry who share important and relevant information and insights for new and beginning farmers and ranchers. These are short and focused conversations that generally last about 20 to 30 minutes. First, we ask our guests to share their story in agriculture, and then we ask them to talk about one thing that they think someone getting started in agriculture needs to know. For those of you tuning into the live Zoom feed, we hope you'll submit questions in the chat window. As we get to the end, I'll try to pick out a question to ask our guest. All of these shows are recorded and posted online on our webpage, where you'll also find an online discussion forum. You can ask questions in the forum anytime, and we'll respond to additional questions there that we can't get to during the live episode. Our guest today is Tucker Hamilton. Tucker is a fourth-generation rancher in northeast Wyoming near Newcastle. He works with his wife, Annie, and his parents, Monty and Francie Hamilton, on a commercial cattle operation. They raise Angus cattle that have some remnants of Herefords from his grandfather's generation. Their farm acreage is used to raise hay to feed the cattle in the winter. He recently started farming using no-till techniques to rejuvenate old alfalfa hay meadows. He is also involved with the community, currently serving as the chairman of the Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee in the Wyoming Farm Bureau Federation, in addition to serving on the Weston County Conservation District Board. Tucker has his Associates of Science in Animal Science and Ag Business from Sheridan College, earning a Bachelor's of Science in the same fields from the University of Wyoming, followed by his Master's in Agricultural Economics at UW. He worked as a grain buyer in Nebraska before returning to the family ranch in 2016. Tucker, we always start this conversation off by giving our guests a chance to talk about their own story in agriculture. I know you've worked as a grain buyer after earning your degree in Animal Science, Ag Business, and Economics. Please tell us a bit about your background, how you got to this point in your life and career, and maybe talk a little more about how and why you've chosen to become directly involved in agriculture, as well as encouraging and mentoring other beginning farmers.
Hello, Keith. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, it's hard to say how it all came together, but I attribute most of it, all of it, to God. You know, he's definitely given me the skills and the opportunities that in my life that put me where I am today. So in my life, I've really enjoyed learning. So I spent a lot of time in school, spent 7-8 years in school, obviously got associates, 2 bachelors and a master's. After that, I moved grain buyer in Nebraska. I didn't really like the office job. I was a grain buyer, but you're still a salesman, and I was selling myself in the organization I was representing in order to buy their grain. And that was the competition was stiff and didn't really enjoy that. So I came home, and because one of the things I really missed was just being able to be my own boss. And honestly, when I have an idea, when I want to start a new enterprise, you have quite a bit of freedom being in agriculture to be like, hey, I want to grow, I want to try no-tilling. And so I moved home and talked to my dad into buying a no-till drill. And that's kind of where I got started with that and really enjoy it. Learning more all the time, able to get just a small sprayer and start to do some spraying rather than hiring because nobody's out there doing it. So I don't hire out or anything. I just do my own stuff, kind of learning how things are going, and just don't quite have the confidence yet to plant somebody else's field and watch it fail because I messed something up, you know. So trying to avoid that right now. Let's see.
Well, you were out as a grain buyer, and I guess the other thing that I'd ask you about is, what did you see from the folks you interacted with, from the folks that you were trying to convince them to sell grain to you? What did you see there that taught you things? We're kind of on a continuing education kick here.
Yeah, right. So that is true. I wasn't a farmer. We never did much farming when I was a kid. Most we did was just put up hay. We never really redid any of our Meadows. Dad did a little bit, but not a lot. And they were old practices, right? You till it like, I don't know, seven times before you can plant it with your deep rippers and your disc and get it, the soil all right. And so I was in Nebraska, and those guys, they're kind of modern farmers, trying to stay ahead of the curve and implement new practices, new technology. And so I was got to visit a lot with them about no-till drilling and spraying and what kind of stuff they were doing. A lot of them, they'd no-till for like 3 or 4 years, and then they do a year of tilling just to reset everything and then start over. And it said saved them tons of time and money as well. Got to look at some new varieties of stuff that people were grazing for hay. That was a nice thing. I worked in western Nebraska, kind of west of the Sand Hills a little ways. So they were not only raising grain, but also, feed, silage and hay for cattle around the area. And they did some quite a bit of corn, which ended up going to Bridgeport to the ethanol plant. And so there was quite a bit of like byproducts, distiller grains from the ethanol plant that guys could use as well. So that was pretty interesting. I learned quite a bit about the whole farming process. I didn't wasn't super involved with that before. Pretty amazing technology, RFID technology for weighing trucks, grain sampling technology. They can determine protein and all that stuff just, man, within a minute or so before they even dump the grain into the elevator. And even my master's was in economics. I really enjoyed the learning some more about the supply chain. We would load a million bushel of corn or wheat onto a train, and then that was pretty interesting, understanding like the tolerances they had for litter and non-grain material and stuff. And very interesting experience.
So since you come back to the farm, how would you assess your learning curve there?
It hasn't been too bad. So I like to take things a little at a time. I really don't think you should change a lot of things to begin with. I economics major, if you do experiments, you want to change one variable at a time. So try to just implement small changes. And so learning curve wasn't too bad. We had the cattle, and Dad's like, "You want to start farming? I talked him into the no-till drill, and it's been, well, one of the nice things was I bought the no-till drill in 2016, and then I had a year to practice a little bit, and then like a couple of wet years, 2018, 2019, some of the wettest years I think I've ever experienced in my lifetime. And so you can grow anything when it rains. That's what I learned. So raised some like 4 ton to the acre wheat for hay, and that was pretty exciting. That was when the Willow Creek, the beardless wheat, was kind of coming out. People were just getting involved with that. I wasn't one of the first implementers, but kind of a step behind. I knew it was going to work. And I did some custom hiring, and that was kind of expensive. So that's why we ended up buying the drill, ended up getting a sprayer, just a small 3-point sprayer, because, well, that was getting impossible to find anybody to do it, let alone the cost. So learning curve's not too bad, able to keep ahead of it. I was able to gain a lot of skills in college and just practical experience before moving home in order to be able to calculate spray rates and figure out, drilling rates and what breaks on no-till drills and that kind of stuff. I also have a cousin-in-law who is very helpful.
It's certainly nice to have those contacts and have a pool of knowledge where you can go back and check with other folks and recognize where you don't know and need to meet up with somebody else. So we've talked a little bit about the main purpose of this video, and that's to ask you, Tucker, our guests on this show, to share something we call their one thing. In other words, we want you to tell us about one thing that they think new and beginning farmers really need to know, keep in mind, be thinking about, or be doing as they're in the beginning stages and getting ready to take on their own challenge of starting an agriculture operation. I know that you've given some thought to share with us and our audience of ag entrepreneurs about getting education, the items you consider essential in lifelong education. Get out of your comfort bubble. Develop new skills, and center those on succeeding in a changing environment. So, Tucker, please tell us about the one thing that you want to share with our new and beginning producers today.
Okay, Keith, first of all, let me talk about how I came about my coming up with my one thing. You know, that's kind of a hard thing to ask someone, or for me to come up, someone to come up with, like, what's the one thing that you would attribute to, you know, helping you succeed where you are or to get you where you are? And then what would you tell others to help them succeed and to begin? And I thought about this kind of broadly to begin with. You know, new farmers and ranchers could have a variety of circumstances. They could be coming into an operation they're inheriting. They have a few more benefits and down pitfalls as opposed to someone who's trying to buy an operation, trying to start from scratch with nothing and coming into it. Quite a bit different situations, and they might, oh man, one thing that would apply to both of them, it was challenging to come up with, but you know, I would definitely suggest learning, go get off. So if you're an old rancher, you know, if you grew up in it, you have parents that want you to take it over. If you're considering taking it over, I would say, you know, get away from the ranch, go learn something, go work for somebody else, go become an apprentice, go to a trade school, go to college, you know, learn some skills, you know, learn how cash flow works, either by watching somebody else in a different operation run a cash flow that's different than when you were used to, or learn about it in school, or, you know, get an education, learn just how different people do different things. There's all kinds of experience out there that you can draw on. Don't try to go it alone. You know, if you take over an operation and you do things exactly how you've done them, how your grandfather did them, how your father did them, that's not the best recipe for success. For someone who's coming into an operation who is not inheriting it, you know, there's some big steps that you have to take. You know, you don't have any land, you don't have any cattle, you don't have any farm ground, you don't have any machinery. You have to rent a bunch of stuff. You know, I would apply that same thing. You know, go work for somebody, learn some stuff from somebody else so that you avoid those pitfalls, those, like, you avoid spraying the wrong chemical that kills all the crop that you're going to grow, you know, because you do a pre-spray to kill the weeds. Well, if you do any residual spraying, any chemical that has a residual, you'll kill all your new crop as well. And you need to learn those things from someone else who has hopefully made those mistakes and learned from them and was able to overcome it. It's kind of like, don't reinvent the wheel. You know, if somebody else has made those mistakes, learn from them and move forward. Did I answer the question, Keith?
Sure. Well, you mentioned how challenging it is to limit the many things that are needed to be successful to only one thing. What are some of the other things that might be important to individuals getting started to know about or learn about beyond the one thing you talked about?
One of the big things is your government. You know, learn what kind of rules and regulations there are. Man, there's so many things going on that you don't have any idea. So, like, water law, man, you know, the waters of the United States, that poor guy, I think he was over there in Iowa, tried to build a reservoir, and he's still in litigation. It's been like, I don't know, 10 years he's been working on that. They sued him because he made his own reservoir and stopped the water. And yeah, it's so you need to be aware of rules and regulations. Get involved with organizations that know more about that. Farm Bureau is a good one. Stock growers, you know, people that organizations that have people in the legislature that are either lobbying or know more about that stuff. So you can ask them, so you can tell them your concerns so that they can maybe help you out.
You mentioned a little bit getting out of your bubble aside from formal education, and you gave some general ideas there on getting out of your bubble, but could you be a little more specific in that? And, you know, who would you suggest talking to or other acquaintances that you've made?
So getting out of your bubble is important. So I have some friends that have never left the ranch. You know, they don't own a pat. They don't even have a passport, never left the country, never even left the state of Wyoming, which I think they should get. I tell them all the time, go out, broaden your horizons a little bit. You know, there's more to the world than just your little corner of it. And it would really benefit you to go see things. And so in my life, I guess I've had those kind of opportunities. When I was doing my master's program, I got involved with a study abroad program in France. Tom Folk there in the College of Ag, Applied Economics Department, Agricultural Economics Department, And I think, yeah, John Hewlett could hook you up as well. They do a study abroad, agricultural based study abroad in France that's really interesting, and you have to apply and stuff, and really interesting. You know, it's completely, France has been around, you know, a few thousand years longer, maybe a few hundred years longer than the US has, and they've progressed further along in their I don't know, culture, maybe is how I would put it. So they have problems that we will probably see in the next 50, 20 to 50 years, maybe, that they're already dealing with. And so there's a good way, good things to learn about there. And in my involvement with like Farm Bureau and these other organizations, I was able to meet up with Cindy Weibel with the Wyoming Ag Leadership. I don't remember that organization. You remember, Keith, what it's called?
The lead program there.
Yeah, but it's under the Wyoming Ag Leadership Council, I think, is what they do. But anyway, it's the lead program, LEAD, Leadership Education and Development, and that was a great program. There, I was in class 15. They do a class every once in a while. It's a year long. Once a month, we meet for a weekend in a different part of the state, and we get a look at the agricultural operations there. We go over like legislative stuff. We go over leadership stuff, community involvement, just all kinds of stuff. One of my favorite parts of that deal is the county down there in the southwest corner, Rock Springs.
I can't remember, but I think I do remember that you might have been out to see a Trona mine, which leads me into the next question. And you saw that as well as working in the supply chain. And how did that influence any decisions that you might have made during COVID and even now, where we've got some supply chain issues? Things aren't quite as just in time as they used to be. Has that affected any of your planning or how you forward look at what you're going to do in your operation?
Yeah. So yeah, like Keith said, we got to tour a Trona mine, which in southeast Wyoming near Rock Springs, super fascinating. I had no idea that Wyoming was like one of the biggest exporters of Trona, like in the US, even in the world. So that's pretty interesting. But to Keith's question, you know, how did COVID affect our operation as far as supply chain issues? Parts were hard to find. Like your tractor broke down. We were blessed. We didn't have humongous breakdowns, and the parts that we could get, you know, they were a little back ordered, but not like, well, like our neighbor was back ordered for like a year or a year and a half, 2 years on some stuff that he needed. As far as forward looking, you know, take care of your equipment. You know, that was kind of one of the things. Things do break, but if you take care of it, you can mitigate that a little bit. And so we tended to you know, wrap a few more layers of bubble wrap around a couple things in order to keep them going. And we were able to keep doing the stuff we wanted to do. We were impacted, but like we had to, the biggest things that we probably impacted on is we had to put off a few like water projects because poly pipe got so expensive, we couldn't afford it. We had to move those back a few years probably. And I see the prices are starting to come down. So hopefully we can reintegrate some of those projects that we had planned.
Well, that's great, Tucker. Thank you a lot for talking with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time to share your insights and experiences for the benefit of new and beginning farmers. And I look forward to seeing you here in another couple of days here in Cheyenne.
Yeah, I'm going to go there for the Wyoming Farm Bureau Federation legislative meeting. So looking forward to see anybody else that's going to go to that.
Thanks so much. That will do it for this episode of You Can Farm Talks. Thanks to those of you who took the time to join this live discussion and submit questions. The recording of this episode and all our previous episodes will be posted and archived on our website and on our YouTube page. If you have any more questions, or if you're watching the recorded episode and didn't get a chance to ask them, please feel free to send questions via email, or even better, by adding them to the online discussion forum. We will try to respond to as many questions as we can and share the answers online. Stay tuned for information about the next You Can Farm Talks conversation. We'll be sharing details about who our next guest will be and when the next episode will take place soon. Check back on our You Can Farm website and Facebook page. Funding for this program has been provided by the USDA's NIFA BFRDP program. We'd also like to thank Custom Ag Solutions, Right Risk, and especially our partners at University of Wyoming Extension. And we'd especially like to thank Tucker Hamilton for joining us tonight. Thanks for listening to You Can Farm Talks.
Thanks, Keith.